Some of the words we use in everyday life, they've got a different meaning when they appear in the context of the Bible. It's partly a problem of translation when the English publishers try and bring the meaning from the Hebrew or the Greek into our language. They're challenged. Sometimes translators can't find a word in the English language that carries the same meaning as the one they're trying to translate. Most commonly a quoted example of that, of course, is the word love in our English language. It's a broad, it's an overused word, the word love. It means so many different things. I love chips in a different way than I love my children. I do like a chip, though, I must be honest. I love my sister in a different way than I love my wife. And God loves me in a totally different way to all these other loves. So in Greek of the New Testament, there are in fact four words which are all translated into the English word love. And these four Greek words communicate clearly different aspects of love which the writer has in mind, which we can't appreciate in English because we've just got one word. It's the word love. We also find that words used in everyday language actually have a different and stronger meaning in the Bible. Hope is a good example. In English, if I say hope, something like, I hope you win the lottery this week. What I mean is, it's not very likely, but there's an outside chance that what you're hoping for may come true. How different is the word hope in the Bible? Hope means a confident expectation of the future. And the basis of that confidence is based on the person of God, on the character of God, on who God is. And so biblical hope is a certainty. Biblical hope isn't a cross my fingers and I hope it's going to work out for you. Hope in the Bible is it's certain because God is involved in the future. Very different meaning. I want to talk to you today about a word that we use in everyday language, but in Scripture takes on a stronger and more certain meaning. And this word is the opening theme of one of Paul's letters. If you've got a Bible, let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. Because someone needs to lend Kate a Bible because she's not got one because it's in Sudan. But it says there, this book of 2 Corinthians, it starts with a theme. And Paul's theme for the 2 Corinthians starts with this theme of comfort. And of course, our English word comfort's got two different meanings. It can mean to live in a way which is easy, which is luxurious, which is a comfortable way of life. That's one meaning of the word comfort. The other meaning is strength and help in times of trial and difficulty. Now, God is very interested in the second and not interested at all in the first. God is not interested in giving me an easy, comfortable, luxurious life. But God is interested in giving me comfort in the trials, opposition, and things I face now. We're going to look at that and see what it means for us. They needed it. In Corinth, the Christian needed it 2 millennia ago. I believe we need that same comfort today. Let's pray and ask God for help. Father, thank you so much that, as we've been hearing, we have the freedom, we have the liberty, we have the opportunity today to gather, to worship, to love you, to be together, to enjoy being together. Father, would you help us to appreciate what we have, what you've given us? And we're asking today that you come by your Spirit and you would teach us afresh. Lord, that you'd stir us by your Spirit, that you'd speak into our lives. God, would you change us this morning? We want to open our lives in a fresh way to you. Spirit of God, would you come and work amongst us today? Amen. Now, Paul's letter, this letter to 2 Corinthians, is a letter to a people facing many difficulties. The people in Corinth in that first century, they faced many difficulties. So it's to a people facing difficulties, and it's from a preacher who was facing difficulties. Paul was facing loads of difficulties. So it's to a people facing difficulties from a preacher who himself was facing difficulties. Paul had gone through very hard times. And in writing to the Christian in Corinth, he wanted them to find what he had found. In his hardship, in his difficulties, Paul had received comfort from God, and he wanted them to have this too. He wanted them to have the experience that he had had of receiving something tangible for the difficulties that they faced. The first century Christians faced many, many difficulties. Do you face difficult circumstances? Today, are the difficulties that you face in your life, in your family, in your life personally, have you got trouble, hardship or difficulty? Are there things that are tough for you? I believe we face increasing times of difficulty in this country. I want to share some times in my life where I've been in trouble. There have been many times where I've been in trouble. I just want to share briefly three, because sometimes in my trouble, I've found God's comfort. Other times I haven't found God's comfort. I've missed God's comfort. And so I just want to share these with you as we go and look at this passage this morning. There was a period in my Christian life where I was unhappy. I was drifting along. There was no joy inside me. There was a lot of sadness. It's my fault. I'm not blaming other people. I'm not saying it's other people's fault. I'm not saying it's God's fault. It was my fault. But I needed something on the inside. I definitely didn't have what I needed for my daily life on the inside. It wasn't there. It was empty. It was hard. It was difficult. So I went to get some comfort. But I didn't go to the throne of grace to get some comfort. I went down the off license to get some comfort. And going down the off license, picking up a six pack. Do you know what? A six pack doesn't bring you consolation on the inside. I found alcohol is no source of comfort. Now, I don't know what you've tried as your alternative source of comfort. When you've gone through testing times, where have you gone? Have you been looking for comfort in the food cupboard? Have you looked for comfort at Brent Cross? Some retail therapy? Have you looked for comfort on sexually explicit websites? Have you looked for comfort by reaching for the remote of the TV and switching on the TV? Have you reached for comfort by going to a novel to escape in the story that you read? We all face difficult times, and there are places where we go looking for comfort, for inner peace, for joy, for something on the inside. Now, in this passage here in 2 Corinthians, Paul describes God as the source of all comfort. Look what he says. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father of compassion and he's the God of all comfort." He's the God of all comfort. In other words, there's one place that all of us can go. There's one place that can supply comfort to all of us, and it's God himself. Paul was saying, I've been there, I've gone to the throne of grace, and I've received something from him because I found God to be the God of all comfort. And I want you Corinthians to know, if you're empty, if you're in trials, if you're in difficulties, if you're struggling, there's a place to go. And that place is to God himself, because he is the one that has all comfort. It's in him. And if you go to him, there's something you can get. He spells it out in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4, because it says he's the God who comforts us in our troubles. He's the God who comforts us in our troubles. So God is the one who has the resources, he has the grace, he has something to give me that I can't find down the off license, I can't find in Brent Cross. I can only find this stuff that comes from God, because he's the God of all comfort, and he's the God, he comforts us in all our troubles. So whatever trouble, difficulty, hardship you face, whatever it is, there's a source of strength. There's a source of inner peace. There's a source of comfort for each of us in our variety of trials and difficulties and hardships that we face. And it's at one place. It's the throne of grace. And it's God himself. He's got something for me. It's his comfort. The Corinthians had trouble. It wasn't easy being a Christian in Corinth. If you look at the history of what it was like, it wasn't easy. It was a difficult thing. Jesus said, we will have trouble. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. Jesus wants us to have the inner peace in our hearts. But it says, in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus predicting the Corinthians would have trouble. Us in this century, we are going to have trouble. That's what it's like. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And so Jesus is saying, we're going to live in a world where there will be trouble. There'll be difficulties. There'll be things pressing in on you. There'll be struggles that you face. But take heart, don't give up. Because Jesus has overcome the world. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, whereas we come to the God of comfort, there's something for us to receive to help us in these things. There is an experience of God's comfort flowing into our lives. And the time that it flows into our lives is in the middle of the trouble. Not when things are sweet, not when things are easy. That's not the time God's comfort flows into our life. God's comfort flows in the midst of our trouble. But it doesn't automatically flow. It's not like I'm facing a trouble here. I've got a trouble in front of me in my life. Things are going pear-shaped in my life. And in the back door, God's kind of automatically putting comfort in there. No, that's not how it works, I believe. I believe comfort's available, but I've got to go to the God of all comfort on my knees and receive it. It's not automatic. Which is why as a believer and as a Christian, I can miss it. And instead of going to the God of all comfort, I go down the off license. There was another time in my life where my work situation was very hard. And I was unhappy. In fact, it drove me to tears. Now, I'm not an emotional person. I don't cry often. But I found it so hard. I found my work situation so hard. I was crying. It was bad, very bad. I felt a failure. I was desperate. In fact, I felt a little bit like King David. As you read through the Psalms, and you read through some of David's Psalms, you see, here is a man who was desperate. Here is a man who was at the end of his tether. He was accused falsely. He was chased. He was hounded. He was victimized. He was slandered. He was cursed. He almost abandoned hope. He became desperate. David was desperate. But he pressed into God. Look at Psalm 86 and verse 6. It says this. This is Psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call on you. David had learned that when everything was pressing in on him, he felt he couldn't manage. He felt he'd almost abandoned hope. In the day of this trouble, he knew what to do. It was to call on God. It was to go to God. It was to go before him. And the confidence that he had is, if I call on God, God, you will help me. That was his confidence. That was his expectation. That was his experience. And the Psalms record the pain of how he felt before he found the comfort from God. And then the joy, the peace, the comfort that he experienced once he'd been before God and received what he needed. Look at the same chapter, Psalm 86 and verse 17. It says this, it finishes off, if we move to 17, Psalm 86 and verse 17. It says, for you, O Lord, have helped and comforted me. So he knew that there was a place, he'd experienced it. He's talking from experience. That when things, if there's anyone that was chased and accused and all these things happened to David, he found a place to go where he could receive something, where he could get something that actually helped him, actually worked in his life, actually took him from his desperation, how he felt at the end of his, I can't go on. It lifted him up and he felt different. Because of what he received from God. David turned to God and prayed. God came and comforted him. In this experience of my work situation, I didn't turn that to the off license. By God's grace, I went to God to seek relief from pressure and failure. I felt a complete failure, felt completely empty on the inside. And so I turned at the end of a week of being a failure, feeling a failure, I turned to God and he came. I waited on God. I sought God and he came and brought comfort and healing and joy in that trial. If you're a burden, there's a place to go. If you feel like, I just can't face Monday, I can't face my family, I can't face my finances, I can't face something, there is a place to go, and it's this, Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come to me. If you think, what can I do? There's nowhere left to go. I don't think I can face it. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, for I will give you rest. So when you feel like you're up against the wall and there's just nowhere to go, there's an invitation. There's an open door. There's Jesus waiting for us to come to him. He's not chasing us. It's not automatic. I have got to humble myself, go before him and say, Jesus, here I am. I come to you. In all my failure, in all my heartache, in all my struggles, here I am, Jesus. I'm before you. We wait on God. We seek God. We wait until his love comes. We wait before God. We're there seeking God, waiting for his love to come and lift us, waiting for the God of all comfort to pour this stuff into my heart. It's waiting for comfort to come and lift me up. The third thing I want to share, the third occasion I share, I faced serious difficulty. I just moved to London. It was some time ago now. I moved to London and I knew nobody in London at all. I had no friends in London. I had no church. I just moved here. I had no family in London. I was living in a hostel in Greenford. Greenford's out on the Central Line. It's rather a desolate place, is Greenford, I must say. I lived in a hostel with non-Christians, so I was the only Christian where I lived, and I knew no Christians. My life consisted of work and then going back to my room in the hostel, which was very tiny. A bed and a little kind of thing. And that was it. That was my life. And the only thing to do in the evening was go socialising with other people in the hostel down the pub. And so my life involved work, being in my own, in my room, and just with me, that's it, me, or going down the pub with these non-Christians. That was my life. So spiritually, I became as dry as a bone. I was empty. I was lonely. I had no joy. My spiritual life had ebbed away. God seemed remote. I'm not blaming other people. I'm not blaming God. It was my fault. One of those desperate times where I was in my room on my own, I got the Bible and I just opened it. It's not the best way to read the Bible, just opening it. But God in his mercy sometimes, you know, you just open the Bible and God will speak. And so I just opened the Bible and I opened the Bible, happened to open it at Psalm 62. And as I read it, this psalm shouted out at me. This psalm grabbed me by the scruff of the neck. Psalm 62 is one of those wonderful psalms. Listen to the words. My soul, it's David again writing, King David. My soul finds rest in God alone. I realized there's one place that my soul, my emotions, my personality, my heart, my will, all of me, my inner life, the inside of me, there was one place where I was going to find it, and it was in God. My soul finds rest. I didn't have rest. I didn't have rest. I had emptiness and nothing. My soul finds rest in God alone. That's what David found. David proved there's no one else, there's nowhere else to get this stuff but God. And I was there in my room on my own, and that was it. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. David sees God as the only source of comfort for his inner man. But you know what he does then? He starts to encourage himself to get into this. He knows this is true. He knows intellectually it's true. But in his emotions, he feels empty. He feels lonely. He feels abandoned. He feels crushed. He feels pressure. Look at verses 5-7. He speaks to himself. Listen, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. So he knows it up here, and he's trying to say to himself, come on, I want to experience this. I want to know this. I want to find this rest. I want to experience it for myself. And this morning, as I'm talking, you may say, Paul, I know that. I know that God is the God of all comfort. I believe it, but I don't experience it. I believe it, but I'm still stuck in my trial and pressure and difficulty. David said, come to himself, come on. Press into this. There's something to pursue here. There's something to get hold of. There's something to experience. It doesn't just fall off the back of a lorry. It's something I've got to go and get. He says, he alone is my rock and salvation. He's my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation, my honor depend on God. He's my mighty rock, my refuge. What a wonderful thing. God is his refuge. Refuge, it's the place to go when you're chased. It's the place to go when there's nowhere else to go. It's the place to go when you feel everyone's out to get you. There's a place that's safe and that's warm. It's the arms of God. God is our refuge. And then he goes on in this psalm to tell us, how do we do that? How is he going to get this? Okay, so he knows it in his head. He starts preaching to his soul, saying, come on, let's get into this stuff. Well, how do you do it? He even tells us in Psalm 62 and verse 8. And this is a key. This is the key. Underline this bit if you do that kind of thing. There's two things. Firstly, he says, trust in God at all times, O people. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in God at all times. So the first thing he's saying is, get hold of your faith, get hold of your trust, and have confidence in God. There's no good looking anywhere else. Stop looking anywhere else. Stop looking at Brent Cross for your comfort. Stop looking in that novel you're reading for your comfort. Stop it. Instead, look to God. Instead, trust in God. And then he goes on the second part of this verse. This is what you need to do. And this is what he did. And in fact, the Psalms record this for us. We know he did it because the Psalms record it. He poured out his heart to God. It's amazing that when many of us are in trouble, we don't turn to God and pour our hearts out. We turn away from God. When we face trouble and difficulty and things are tough, rather than doing what David says here, turn to God, trust in him, pour out your heart. When we face trouble and difficulties and things are hard, we turn our back on God and look for comfort in other things. David's telling us this is the path. This is the way. Trust in God and pour out your heart to him. If you look through Psalms, how David poured out his heart, sometimes it's shocking what he said to God. You read it and think, how can you say that to God? How can you pray those things? David prayed so honestly, almost kind of shockingly honestly about how he felt. He felt God, it was God did this or God did that or God let him down or he felt abandoned. He poured his heart out to God. He just poured out how he felt. He poured out how he felt. And somehow in that authenticity, somehow in that relationship between him and God, as he poured it out, it opened up his heart to the God of all comfort. And the God of all comfort poured back in peace and joy and comfort and strength and grace for whatever he's going through. But the key that opened the whole thing up was he poured out his heart to God. I want to encourage us today that whatever your trials are, however you feel, people have let you down, God's not showing up and doing what you want God to do. However you feel, we've got permission, we've got a pattern in Scripture of pouring out ourselves to God. It's not irreverent. We can communicate honestly to God. Pour out our hearts, pour our emotions, pour what we feel to God. As we do that, something happens spiritually. Something happens and the God of all comfort starts to move on my heart. What happened to me at that time was that I met Jesus in the pages of Scripture. I went to the Bible and met him in that psalm, in Psalm 62. If I've learned anything over the years as a Christian, is that there's a place to go when things get tough. And that place is to go and be with Jesus. Now, as we look at 2 Corinthians this morning, I want us to see that when Paul was in trouble, he went to God, and that God responded in two ways. So in 2 Corinthians, let's have a look at these things. Firstly, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5 and 6. Paul says this, when we went to Macedonia, This body of ours had no rest, talking about himself. We were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within. Doesn't that describe how we feel often? Conflicts on the outside, fears within. There's conflicts all around us. People are saying things and doing things we don't like. Inside there's fear. Conflicts on the outside and fear within. But verse 6, but God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us with the coming of Titus. See, Paul was concerned how the Corinthian church were doing. He'd planted the church, he'd established the church, and he was fretting and worried that this thing wasn't working, that they were failing as a church. The church wasn't working as it should and wasn't responding to the letter he sent. So he was worried, he was anxious, he was struggling with his fears. And in this occasion, God took away his concerns by sending Titus. Titus went to visit the church. The church encouraged Titus. Titus came back. And at that point, his concerns, his troubles, his fears left completely. See, sometimes as we pray, we pour out our hearts to God, as we bring a situation before God, God takes the situation away. Sometimes, as happened to Paul here, God resolves the situation even as we pray. As we pray about it, God moves on that situation, and that situation is resolved. And that is wonderful. But more often, as we pray, as we pour out our heart to God, that situation isn't resolved, but instead, God does something in me to work through that situation. Look what happened also in 2 Corinthians 11. Paul is here telling us about his struggles. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 11. There were some false apostles in Corinth, and he was comparing himself to what he went through, the struggles he went through. Listen to his struggles. I've worked harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, often gone without food. I've been naked and cold. Beside everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin? Do I not inwardly burn? You see, God didn't rescue him he lists all these trials. He lists, I've been through this, I've been through this, and God did not rescue him out of those trials. What happened was God worked in those trials and brought him through those trials. So in the balance, even of what Paul's recounting here in the letter to the Corinthians, we got one occasion where God rescued, sorted the situation out and rescued him. The other situation, those trials were tough and he went through those things, but God did something. And through those things, Paul learned that God is the God of all comfort. And he knew it. He knew it in here, and he got to know it in here. Why doesn't God rescue us out of our troubles on every occasion? I believe there's 2 reasons. The first reason is the comfort we receive from God is ours to keep. It goes into our character, becomes part of who we are. So as I go through a trial, I go through something difficult, I struggle, it's hard. I come before God, I cry before God, I pour my heart out before God. As I do that, God pours his comfort into my life. That comfort comes into me and becomes part of me. And God deposits something of his divine nature and character in me. It changes me. I am changed. If I allow those comfort to come into my life, I'm a different person. I come out different. God's made me more like Jesus. So every trial and situation we face, we can become more like Jesus. The end product is I'm more fashioned into the life of Jesus.
Secondly, look at 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." We live in a desperate world that doesn't know where to get comfort. We live in a desperately needy world that hasn't got access to the God of all comfort because they've rejected him. God wants you and I to have something to give away. The only way I'm going to have the comfort of God to give away and to minister to other people is if I'm going to go to God, receive it, and once I receive it, then I've got something to give away. You can't give away what you've not got. Jesus said to the disciples, "Freely you've received, now freely give." Well, if you don't receive, you can't give it. So I'm not going to be able to give the comfort of God away to my work colleagues. I'm not going to be able to give the comfort of God and need away to my neighbours and family if I haven't received it from God. And so the other aspect of the trials and difficulties we go through is it puts us in a situation where we're so desperate, we will get from God, we will receive from God. And as we receive from God, we've got something to give away for this desperate world. So there's a purpose to it. See, comfort from God isn't just cheering us up in the face of difficulty. Comfort is help and strength on the inside in our troubles. It's something to experience from God. It's something tangible. It's something powerful. It changes us. Christian comfort isn't the absence of difficulties and the presence of nice things and a comfortable life. Comfort is the strength we receive from God in the midst of our difficult circumstances. Do you know, I've started to thank God for my difficulties. I've been trying to thank God for the blessings. Thank God for the good things. God, thank you for this. I've started to thank God for the difficult circumstances. I've started to thank God for the things that are hard. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Paul saying in all circumstances. So it's not just thanks for the blessings. It's not just thank you when things go well. It's not just thank you for the things that are good. It's not just thank you when God answers my prayer. Paul's saying this is God's will for you. If you want to know what God's will for your life is, it's up there. It's easy. It's to give thanks in all circumstances. Whatever challenges face you, God, thank you for these challenges. Because do you know why? I believe that God is a sovereign God. And I have given my life, as far as I know I'm able to, I've given different aspects of my life. I've been through my life saying, God, you have this part. God, you have this part. God, you have this part. I've been through all different aspects of my life saying, God, would you have this bit? Would you be Lord in this area of my life? Would you be the one in control? Would your will and purpose work out? Would your kingdom come in this area of my life? If I believe that, and I believe that God is a sovereign God, then even the challenges, even the hardship, even the difficulty that I face, God, thank you for this. Not thank you for the pain, but thank you that through this, your comfort's going to come into me. It's going to make me more like Jesus. You're going to work in this situation, and I'm going to have something to give away. I believe we need more of God's comfort in our lives. If you're desperate, you'll press into God. The contented will not seek God. The satisfied will not press into anything. One of the complaints of Isaiah the prophet was this, Isaiah 64:7. Isaiah says, "No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you." The prophet was complaining that the people of God wouldn't call on God's name. They, instead, when they're in trouble and difficulty, they did something else. They didn't turn to God. When things were tough, instead of turning to God, they did something else. They turned to something else. It is the complaint of the prophet. He says, no one strives to lay hold of you. No one's willing to put any effort in. No one's willing to face what it takes to get before God on my knees and stay there and say, God, I desperately need your comfort. God, I desperately need you to do something in my heart. I'm broken. I'm crushed. I can't do it. I can't make it. God is the God of all comfort. There's no other source. But comfort is something you have to go and get. doesn't come automatically. I can't sit and wait to be comforted. God, here I am. Could you comfort me? No. All three persons of the Godhead are involved in the comfort. We've seen that God is God the Father is the God of all comfort. We saw that Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another comforter. In other words, Jesus was saying he was a comforter. He was with the disciples as a comforter to be with them, strengthen them, be alongside them. It's the same word. There's Jesus alongside, helping, encouraging, being with them through the difficulties and the trials. And he said, now I'm going to the Father. I'm going to ask him to send you another comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we've been asking. We've been asking God in this season of prayer, God, would you give us more of the Holy Spirit? Because we want more of his work in our lives, more of his comforting in our lives. Just to finish this morning, are you in a trial, a hard time, a difficult place? Let's go to God. Let's go to the God of all comfort and let's receive something. You won't get this comfort with 2 minutes with God on the way out the door. The psalmist describes God as this God who helps us. Listen to this, Psalm 68 and verse 19. It says, praise be to the God, to the Lord, our God, our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. What a wonderful promise. After that, the next little bit, it says Selah. It's a little word you see often in the psalm, Selah. It means pause and think about it. It means don't just rush on to the rest of the psalm. Stop and think about it. The psalmist is saying, think about this for a moment. God is offering, the offer of God is that he would daily bear our burdens. That's a big offer, big promise. The things, the pressures you face from your work colleagues, the pressures you face from your family, the pressures you face in finance, the pressures you face in Darfur, whatever pressures that you face, God is the God of all comfort. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Because God is the God who daily will bear our burdens. I've got a question for you this morning. Why are you carrying the tough things in your life? Today, why are you carrying them? You see, Jesus said, come to me. And God's promised to daily carry our burdens. That's his offer. That's a description of what God wants to do in our life. So why are you carrying your burdens? God is much better at carrying your burdens than you are. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Oh God, Lord. Lord, amongst us this morning, there's so many different needs and pressures, struggles and difficulties. And God, I want to ask that you would come this morning and help us. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. Help us to pour our hearts out to you. Help us, Lord, to give our burdens to you. Help us, Lord, to come to the God of all comfort and to receive comfort in all our struggles. God, would you help us today? Just as we're quiet, I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to highlight each one of us, one or two, the kind of key things, the key struggles, key pressures, key things that are kind of we're facing at the moment, just so that we can acknowledge them before God and allow him this morning to come and take these burdens. Allow him to come and to work in these things. Holy Spirit, would you come amongst us? Would you work in each of our hearts? Would you show where we are carrying burdens that you've offered to carry? That where we're weary and we've got heartache and we're carrying things, Lord, that you want to carry for us. God, would you speak to us about those things, oh God? Father, would you forgive us where we've gone somewhere else to get comfort? Wherever we've gone for comfort, Lord, wherever we've gone instead searching for comfort, would you forgive us, Lord, for not trusting in you, for turning away from you instead of turning to you? God, would you forgive and wash us for our sin, Lord? Lord, we want the experience that David had of knowing that you're the one that comes, takes our burdens, carries us, gives us rest, gives us a refuge, gives us strength. I feel for some of us this morning, God is planting a seed of hope in our hearts. It may only be a seed, it may only be something small, but I believe that for some of us, God is putting something supernatural, some hope in there. And you remember how I started this morning by explaining that hope in the Bible is a confident expectation in the goodness of God, a confident expectation of the future, because God is a good God. And so what he's begun in us, he's going to bring to completion. And if God is planting a seed of hope in us this morning, that things can change, things can be different, God can get us through, that seed can grow into something powerful in our lives. God, for those of us that have given up hope, would you come this morning and kindle hope? Would you come this morning, plant that seed in our hearts, Lord? Lord, we're before the throne of grace today and saying, God, you're a gracious God. Would you work these things in our lives? Would you work these things in our heart? What if you can all stand with me this morning? Let's stand together. Let's each be doing business in our hearts with God, thanking him, receiving from him, receiving comfort from him. If for the musicians could come back, that'd be great. If you feel this morning that you would like prayer, like me to stand with you, just pray for the God of all comfort to move, then I'd love to do that. So as the musicians start, if you want to come down the front, then I'd just love to pray, just that God would do that. But don't feel obliged to. If you want to just stay in your seat and stand and receive from God, that's absolutely fine. Let's just use this time. We've got a little time before the children come back. Let's just use this time to receive his comfort, thank him for his goodness.